And now, Stein Online presents Mark Stein's Song of the Week.
Hey, welcome along. We are in the business of words and music, and what happens when you put them together to make a song. And so we celebrate not singers or producers or arrangers, but composers and lyricists. And at the close of a terrible, miserable year, we tip the hat to some of those songwriters we lost in 2020. In various genres, film and theatre, country and western and rock and roll, and even unto, quote, the stupidest song ever written. But I would like to start on a personal note. Occasionally when I'm being interviewed, I'll be asked, as a writer, when did I first become interested in language? Or alternatively, as a writer about music, when did I first become interested in the language of songs specifically? The answer to the latter, and possibly the former too, I can pinpoint very precisely. This was a top five hit for an unlikely double act, and it had a long afterlife on children's radio shows around the Commonwealth because its boom booty boom hook is fun for kids to sing along to. But I remember the day, as a slightly older young'un, that after carelessly boom booty booming along, I heard or paid attention to for the very first time Peter Sellers' intervening patter. See if you can spot what caught my ear. Here's Peter Sellers as an Indian doctor, Sophia Loren as his glamorous patient.
Oh, doctor, I'm in trouble.
Well, goodness gracious me.
For every time a certain man is standing next to me, A flash comes to my face and my pulse begins to race. It goes boom, booty, 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 boom, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. How often does this happen? When did the trouble start? You see, my stethoscope is bobbing to the throbbing of your heart.
What kind of man is he to create this allergy? It goes boom, booty, 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 boom, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. From New Delhi to Darjeeling, I have done my share of healing, and I've never yet been beaten or outboxed. I remember that with one jab of my needle in the Punjab, how I cleared up beriberi and the dreaded dysentery. But your complaint has got me really foxed.
Oh, oh, doctor, touch my fingers.
Well, goodness gracious me.
You may be very clever, but however can't you see? My heart beats much too much at a certain tender touch. It goes boom, booty, 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 boom, boom,
boom. I like it.
Boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. Can I see your tongue? Nothing the matter with it. Put it away, please.
Maybe it's my back.
Maybe it is.
Shall I lie down?
Yes.
My
initial diagnosis rules out measles and thrombosis, sleeping sickness, and as far as I can tell, influenza, inflammation, whooping cough, and night starvation. And you'll be so glad to hear that both your eyeballs are so clear that I can positively swear that you are well.
Put two and two together.
Four.
If you have eyes to see,
yes.
The face that makes my pulses race is right in front of me.
Oh, there is nothing I can do. Oh, my heart is jumping too.
Oh, we go boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, 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 booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom. Goodness gracious.
How audacious.
Goodness gracious.
How flirtatious.
Goodness gracious.
It is me.
It is you.
I'm sorry, it is us.
I remember that with one jab of my needle in the Punjab. Wait a minute, what was that? The Punjab I knew vaguely from a reference in some recent telly show or book or something, but I had never before noticed that that funny Peter Sellers had rhymed it. And I remember being aware that it was the rhyme that made it both arresting and pleasurable, and that's how, for me, the whole rigmarole began. And, of course, it wasn't Peter Sellers who'd rhymed that couplet. It was a fellow called Herbert Kretzmer to a tune by Dave Lee. And so it is to Mr. Kretzmer rather than to Cole Porter or Lawrence Hart or Irving Berlin that I owe the first sung rhyme to lodge itself in my brain as such. I knew Herbie Kretzmer in later life, and when he left us just after his 95th birthday a few months ago, the headlines read, "Lyricist of Les Miserables Dies." And the boffo success of that show changed his life, but he wrote a lot of other things too, and we will hear a couple of them later in the show. One more personal note, if you'll forgive me. I couldn't honestly call this next fellow one of the great songwriters, but he too had a big impact on my life. If you were around an American Top 40 radio station in 1965, you'll remember this because it was number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. Ian Whitcomb with a song he more or less improvised, complete with falsetto and that orgasmic whimper at the hook, at the end of a recording session in Dublin just to run out the clock. But he was an English public schoolboy, and he managed to get in on the coattails of the British invasion and get a top 10 hit in America. "You Turn Me On" isn't exactly a blockbuster that resounds down the ages, but it wound up getting covered by Mae West, as in, is that a pistol in your pocket or are you just pleased to see me? Mae West on her rock and roll album Way Out West. Miss West recorded one song by Lennon and McCartney, one song by John Lee Hooker, one song by Bob Dylan, but two songs by Ian Whitcomb. Listen to what she substitutes for young Ian's orgasmic whimper.
"Oh, oh, mmm, oh, that's it. Come on now, baby. Come on and do the jig with me. Came up to see me.
Mae West was 72 back then and was the oldest living singer to crack the Billboard Top 200 album chart, a record that stood for 45 years. On the strength of that song, meanwhile, Ian Whitcomb got to open for the Kinks and the Beach Boys and the Rolling Stones. And then, having proved he could rock it up with the best of them, he turned his back on that kind of music, disliking the increasing pretentiousness of rock with the double concept albums, with gatefold sleeves of impenetrable psychedelic lyrics. And he went back to the songs he really liked and released a cover version of Al Jolson's 1916 hit, Where Did Robinson Crusoe Go with Friday on Saturday Night. Oh, mammy! In 1972, he published a book called After the Ball about the history of popular music going back to the early days of Tin Pan Alley in the 1880s and 1890s. And I don't want to get all mawkish and say it changed my life, but it kind of did. Because I read it as a teenager, and until then I had read only very boring books on old songs, and this was an idiosyncratic but very vivid and gripping tale that brought those songwriters alive. And were it not for stumbling across that book, I doubt, for example, that we would have had our Song of the Week department at Stein Online for the last 14 years. I wish I could have thanked him for that. But our paths crossed just once, very fleetingly, at the BBC, and it was just a quick handshake, and I never did. OK, let us turn from the personal to the universal. well, at least for half of mankind.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong,
strong.
I am invincible,
invincible.
I am woman.
Helen Reddy singing a song she co-wrote. Her distant cousin is Dame Patsy Reddy, the present Governor General of New Zealand. It would be interesting to hear the Queen's Vicegerent sing I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, on the next throne speech down under. On the very same day she died, her fellow 1970s variety show host Mac Davis also left us. Here's Helen Reddy singing a song composed by Mac Davis.
I just sit around making music all day long. As long as I'm making music, I know I can't do no one no wrong. Who knows, maybe someday I'll come up with a song that makes people want to stop their fussing and a fighting, just flying up and singing along. 'Cause you know,
I believe in music, I believe in love, but I'm not sure I believe in bold, declarative anthems conflating the two and presenting the healing balm of music as the bringer of world peace, because I know there are billions of people around the planet who are left cold by Western music, even if they don't take it as far as ISIS does and behead classical orchestra players on the beach. So I thought I'd explore other corners of the Mac Davis catalogue. Before he became a big singer in the 70s with songs like Baby, Baby, Don't Get Hooked on Me, people forget that Mac Davis was just a hard-working songwriter. He started with Nancy Sinatra's company, Boots Enterprises, and they published all his songs. And when Mac decided to branch out on his own, Nancy, who can be very kind and generous in such matters, returned all his copyrights to him. That was very generous. And Mac also benefited from the team around Nancy, like her producer, Jimmy Bowen, and her guitarist, arranger, Billy Strange. This is a song Mac Davis wrote with Sammy Davis, no relation, in mind. Jimmy Bowen, who'd produced Sammy at Reprise Records, as he'd produced all the Rat Pack big pop hits in the 60s, Frank Sinatra's Strangers in the Night, Dean Martin's Everybody Loves Somebody. Jimmy Bowen nevertheless thought this song, notwithstanding its content, might work better coming from a white guy. He arranged for Mac Davis to demo it at a recording session where everyone else in attendance was black, Jesse Jackson and the like, and then he took the song to Elvis.
As the snow flies On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. Now, people, don't you understand? Your child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Now, take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns.
It's a rather interesting song for its time, and for our time, because of its implication that the pathologies of black urban America are cyclical and socially rooted. And so, as the song concludes, even as its subject meets a bloody and premature end, the cycle begins again.
As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as her young man dies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born. And his mama cried.
Elvis and the recording of In the Ghetto. A ton of other people recorded it in the years after.
Why don't you just arrange your chairs and come up close? Because I just want to lay a story on you.
Including the guy Mac Davis originally had in mind for it, Sammy Davis Jr. I like Sam, but he blew it.
As a snow flies. On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born. In the ghetto. And his mama cries. 'Cause if there's one thing that she don't need is another hungry mouth to feed, especially if you're living in a ghetto.
Mac Davis wrote a lot of the better Elvis songs in the somewhat variable second act of the King's career. Don't Cry Daddy is a Mac Davis song, as is this one, which gave Elvis a posthumous number one hit in the UK, Canada, Australia, half a dozen other countries in the 21st century, when it was remixed by a Dutchman, Junkie XL.
In me. A little more pride, a little less fun, a little less pride, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Me.
conversation, a little more action. Not a lot of either if you're in Boris Johnson's Tier 4 lockdown. So how about a lighter song from Mac Davis on the burdens of celebrity?
Back a few months ago, I was headlining at a great big nightclub. And he put me up a couple of days early. I came in a couple of days early, and they put me up at what they call the Star Suite. Now, here I am, headliner in one of the biggest nightclubs in the country, and I wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning in this Star Suite all by myself. Yeah, that's what I said, aw. But I did what I've always done, man, to cheer myself up. I picked up my guitar, I sat down, I wrote me a little song. Now, this is how it feels to be alone at the top of the hill and trying to figure out why. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I used to have a girlfriend, but I guess she just couldn't compete with all of these love-starved women who keep clamoring at my feet. Well, I probably could find me another, but I guess they're all in awe of me. Who cares? I never get lonesome, 'cause I treasure my own company. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. You're perfect in every way. Can't wait to look in the mirror. Can't wait to look in the mirror.
Help me out now, come on.
I get better looking each day. To know me is to what? To know me is to love me. Must be a hell of a man. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard. Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're doing what? We're doing the best that we can.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Words and music by Mac Davis. You know, I played Sammy Davis's version of In the Ghetto a few minutes ago. So in fairness to Sam, here he is with a song he really connected with.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you. In worn-out shoes, with silver hair, a ragged shirt, and baggy pants. He would do the old soft shoe. He could jump so high, and then he'd lightly touch down. I met him in a cell in New Orleans, I was. Well, I was down and out. He looked to me to be the very eyes of age. As he spoke right out, talked of life. Lord, he talked of life. Laughed, slapped his leg a step. He said his name was Bojangles. Then he danced a lick right across the cell. He grabbed his pants, took a better stance, jumped up high. That's when he clicked his heels. Then he let go a laugh. Lord, he let go a laugh. Shook back his clothes all around. That was Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Lord, he could dance.
That's what happens when the right song finds the right singer. The man who wrote it died this year. Here is how Mr. Bojangles was born. Jerry Jeff Walker.
Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. He danced for those at Mr. Shows and county fairs throughout the South. He spoke for tears of 15 years how his dog and him traveled about, his dog up and died, up and died. After 20 years he still grieves. Said I danced now at every chance in honky tonk, for drinks and tips. But most of the time I spend behind these county bars. I drinks a bit. He shook his head, and as he shook his head, I heard someone ask, please, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles.
Jerry Jeff Walker singing a song by Jerry Jeff Walker. Johnny Mandel died this year at the age of 94. He was a great film composer and a peerless arranger. If you've only got time for one album, grab Sinatra, Ring-a-Ding-Ding. If you're not figuring on coming out of lockdown for another 3 months, start with the Count Basie stuff and work your way up to Shirley Horn and Diana Krall and Natalie Cole, Unforgettable. A big hit for Miss Cole and Mr. Mandel. He was a more occasional songwriter, but he had his moments. This beat out a lot of big-name writers, Bacharach and David, Mancini and Mercer, Michel Legrand, to win him the Oscar in 1965.
The shadow of your smile when you are gone will color all my dreams and light the dawn.
Johnny Mercer said rather cattily that the shadow of your smile sounded to him like a woman with a faint mustache. But maybe he was onto something. For a while, everyone from Engelbert Humperdinck to Stevie Wonder sang it, and it seemed on the verge of becoming a solid and substantial standard. But its grip seems a little more tenuous these days. Most of Johnny Mandel's other songs are kept in business by evangelizing singers. Dave Frischberg, a very funny jazz guy, wrote the words to this one. He usually writes his own music, and that's fine for cute lyrics and laugh lines. But for once, he's got a really great tune.
In the evening, when the kettle's on for tea, an old familiar feeling settles over me, and it's your face I see, and I believe that you are there. In a garden, when I stop to touch a rose and feel the petals soft and sweet against my nose, I smile and I suppose that somehow maybe you are there.
That's Stacey Kent singing Johnny Mandel and Dave Frischberg. I like that song, but I thought we ought to tip our hat to Johnny Mandel's absolutely no questions asked biggest hit. And it's not something he would have bet on. It begins with the film director Robert Altman, who was having a tough time of it in the late 60s. There was the sci-fi flick Countdown, from which he was fired because he refused to cut it. And he followed that with a mega bomb, That Cold Day in the Park. So when he was offered a black comedy about army doctors, he knew it was his last shot and he couldn't afford to blow it. And he read the novel, which he didn't particularly care for, but he figured that he'd succeed or fail according to how adroitly he walked that fine line between tragedy and comedy. And so to get a sense of whether he could pull off that balancing act, he decided to focus initially on one scene, a scene in which a character called Painless Pole decides he's going to commit suicide. And his friends throw him a big dinner with Painless as guest of honour, recumbent in a handsome coffin for a suicide that does not, in fact, occur. And Altman read the script by Ring Lardner Jr., and the scene didn't quite do it for him. He felt it needed something more, specifically a song. So he called Johnny Mandel, and Mandel had scored Cold Day in the Park, the big bomb of a year earlier, and had no desire to work with Altman again, because it had been a couple of years since Shadow of Your Smile had won the Oscar, and he figured he couldn't afford to have his career dragged down by yet another Altman flop. And Johnny Mandel liked the assignment even less when Altman told him he wanted Mandel to write, quote, the most stupid song ever written for one of Painless's buddies to sing to him on the guitar. And he gave him the title, which is certainly stupid, and at a stroke ensures that Sinatra, Streisand, whoever are never going to sing your song. But he got to work and he wrote a tune, and Robert Altman fitted a lyric to it. And entering into the spirit of the assignment, Johnny Mandel told Altman his lyric wasn't stupid enough. And Altman said, you know, you're right. I'll get my kid to do it. He's going through a really stupid phase right now. And so Johnny Mandel, a guy who'd written with Johnny Mercer, wound up writing a song with 14-year-old Mike Altman. Here's Ken Primus introducing it to the world as Painless climbs into his coffin in Mass.
I'll help you.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. The game of life is hard to play. I'm going to lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. That suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave.
I'll always remember you just like this.
Please. The only way to
win is cheat and lay it down before I'm beat. Mm-hmm. And to another give my seat, for that's the only painless feat. And suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please.
Thrown your whole education away.
Well, that's certainly stupid enough, no question. Not only is the title phrase absolutely atrociously rhymed, suicide is painless, it brings on many changes. And I can tell you that suicide is painless is extremely painful for anyone who cares about the integrity of rhyme. But aside from that, the imagery has the indestructibly confident stupidity that only comes with being 14 years old. The sword of time will pierce our skins. It doesn't hurt when it begins. But as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger. Watch it grin. Robert Altman had never been prouder of his boy. Johnny Mandel didn't get it and thought Altman had lost his mind when he then said the song was so great he wanted to run it over the opening titles in a very easy listening arrangement, because Mandel couldn't figure out what easy listening had to do with war, carnage, bleeding bodies being helicoptered out. But it turns out you never know.
Suicide is painless.
Suicide.
It brings on many changes.
Changes.
And I can take or leave it if I please. The sword of time will pierce our skins. It doesn't hurt when it begins. But as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger, watch it grin.
Suicide is painless, it brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please.
A brave man once requested me answer questions that are key. Is it to be or not to be? And I replied, oh, why ask me?
Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes.
And I can take or leave it if I please. And you can do the same thing if you please.
That's the theme from MASH, sung by The MASH. The name Johnny Mandel gave Ron Hickling's session singers. Everyone's heard the Ron Hickling singers sometime in their life. They sang the Batman theme and Happy Days and almost all McDonald's best commercials, the classic ones, and backing vocals on I'm a Believer. And 10 years after they recorded that track, 1980, it was a number one record in Britain. And by that time, the lyric had been kind of forgotten because the song was used instrumentally every week on the long-running sitcom spin-off of MASH, whereas Johnny Mandel once told me, still somewhat mystified, an easy listening arrangement could suit war and carnage so perfectly that most people, when they think of the theme from MASH, immediately hear the opening chopper blades. But after the original version hit number one, it turned out that there were a remarkable number of singers eager to sing a song called Suicide is Painless. Okay, not Frank, not Tony, not Ella, Barbara, or anyone else Johnny Mandel would have been interested in hearing, but instead Marilyn Manson. Oh, and the Welsh alternative rock band, the Manic Street Preachers. That was number 7 on the UK Hit Parade in 1992. The Manic Street Preachers. A brave man once requested me to answer questions that are key. Is it to be or not to be? And I replied, oh, why ask me? That's stupid, but it's also good advice. Ours not to reason why. The only thing more stupid I've heard was a lounge act I caught once where the guy just did the whole thing in this breezy, swinging, finger-snappy style. Hey, suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. Asked what he wanted in return for that lyric, 14-year-old Mike Altman said he'd like a new guitar. But the producers were a bit wary about that, and just to nail the song down, they wanted to put him on a regular songwriting contract. The same deal they'd have given Johnny Mercer. And so, one night in the 80s, Robert Altman turned up on The Tonight Show and casually revealed to Johnny Carson that he'd been paid $70,000 for directing MASH, but that his kid had made over $1 million from the song. Robert Altman got a career out of MASH. Afterwards came Nashville, Shortcuts, Gosford Park, all his big films, whereas Mike Altman decided to call it quits after one song. As for Johnny Mandel, many years ago, I checked into the Plaza in New York, and a couple of hours later, on my way out to an ASCAP event just across Central Park, in the elevator down from my room, they were playing the theme from MASH. And it was a crowded elevator, stopping every floor, and so I heard the whole thing. And when I got to ASCAP, the first person I chanced to see when I walked into the rotunda was Johnny Mandel. So I mentioned it to him. Yeah, he said, I'm pretty big in elevators. Well, he was pretty big out of elevators too, from the Manic Street Preachers to Bill Evans. Evans plays Johnny Mandel, as they did play Johnny Mandel every week on television for decades. Also lost the first man in the history of the English language ever to express in writing the following sentiment.
Wa-ba-ba-loom-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
Tutti Frutti or Rooty? Tutti Frutti or Rooty? Tutti Frutti or Rooty? A wop bop, a loo bop, a lop bam boom. And no one had ever thought to say that before. And sometimes that's all it takes. Words and music by Little Richard. It's no secret I'm not a big rock and roll guy, but if you love rock and roll, you'll love this. Joan Jett and the Black Hearts, an American number one in 1982, but here's the guy who first sang it and wrote it as a kind of instant reply to the Rolling Stones song It's Only Rock and Roll But I Like It, Alan Merritt.
This is called I Love Rock and Roll. I wrote it 1975.
Me.
In 1975, on the strength of that song, Muriel Young, whom you can see with Rex Harrison in the film The Constant Husband, Muriel Young gave that band a British television show, Arrows, fronted by Alan Merrill. He loved rock and roll, but he was killed by COVID-19 at the age of 71. Over the summer, Annie Ross died just 4 days before what would have been her 90th birthday. She had an amazing life. Her parents were Scottish music hall comedians, Short and Dalzy. And her brother, Jimmy Logan, became a big Scots entertainer.
Roman and the Gloman on the bonny banks of Clyde. Roman and the Gloman, way my lassie by my side.
And her other brother, Buddy, wasn't a bad vocalist.
You're the end of the rainbow, my pots of gold. You're daddy's little girl to have and hold.
Nor little sister Heather.
Funny boat, like a bird on the wind. Onward the sailors cry.
And when Annie Ross was four, the family went steerage to New York to try and break into American show business. That didn't work out, and so they all headed back to Britain, except for Annie, who stayed on with her aunt, Ella Logan. Who's Ella Logan? Well, she was a Broadway actress, the star of Finian's Rainbow, in fact.
It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes.
Auntie Ella and her niece moved to Los Angeles, and at the age of seven, Annie was on the big screen with the Little Rascals in Our Gang Follies of 1938. Pretty wild for a seven-year-old. In fact, that's basically Annie Ross's entire life and career in one number. It starts off as very conventionally Scottish and thistled and kilted, and then gets jazzier and more abandoned. Aunt Ella wasn't so impressed and told her she was never going to make it as a singer, and if she wanted to be in showbiz, she should try set designing. Thank you, Auntie. Still in all, a Little Rascals movie is not a bad break for a kid off the boat from Scotland. Annie Ross was never really a working actress, but directors liked her, so every few years someone put her in a picture. She was Judy Garland's little sister in Presenting Lily Mars, and half a century later she was with Robert Downey Jr., Julianne Moore, Chris Penn, Frances McDormand, Lyle Lovett, Andy McDowell in Robert Altman's Shortcuts. In between, you can catch her in Yanks with Richard Gere, Throw Mama from the Train, Superman 3. But as I said, acting wasn't what Annie Ross did. What she did was become one third of Lambert, Hendricks and Ross, the hottest new group in jazz, as one album title put it, a little immodestly but not inaccurately.
Roll back the rug, break out the jug, I'm gonna have a ball like a witch you never had done. My wife is on vacation, so my mother-in-law, I bet you never thought of crazy animal thing that I'll be flinging.
Very cool, as she was for a while. Annie Ross had an affair with Lenny Bruce and a child with the drummer Kenny Clarke, who was black, which in those days in America was daring and problematic. And she became a heroin addict, as a lot of that generation of jazzers did, and then she got over that with some effort, which was impressive. Speaking of problematic, I occasionally used to wonder what the hip star of Vocalese sang with Mum and Dad and Brother Jimmy when she was back in Scotland with the family. A medley of Roman in the Gloamin' and Basie's 1 o'clock Jump? Or did they just let Annie take another wild chorus on Loch Lomond and then all go out to score some heroin for Lenny Bruce? But Robert Altman and Ella Logan and Lenny Bruce aren't really relevant to this particular spot on our show, because our Song of the Week is about songs and songwriters. And every so often, Annie Ross did write a song. Here she is with Hugh Hefner on his Playboy's Penthouse TV show.
Everybody's doing little bits and pieces. How about you want a solo song for us?
Maybe. Oh, all right.
Would you?
Can I do something I wrote?
Love to have you do something you wrote.
All right. Yeah. Everybody goes to analysts nowadays. Well, about 5 years ago, I wrote a thing about going to an analyst and finding out that it wasn't really too bad when you discover that you've got two heads instead of one. It's called Twisting.
Singing with Count Basie and his rhythm section, and with Tony Bennett, Joe Williams, and all kinds of other groovers looking on in admiration.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head when he described it. I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no, my analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, went out of his sight, to be out of my mind, and he thought I was nuts.
Nuts.
No more ifs or ands or buts. Oh no.
Oh no.
That's Tony Bennett and Joe Williams joining in on the oh no's. You can hear Basie's enjoying that song. Annie Ross singing Twisted, her lyric to an instrumental by the saxophonist Wardell Gray from a few years earlier. That's not anybody's idea of a number you'd write if you wanted to have a big hit. Yet it wound up making Miss Ross a lot of money because some younger singers liked it. Here's Joni Mitchell singing Annie Ross on her blockbuster of an album from the 70s, Caught and Spark.
They all have been angry young men. They all have been Edison and also at Einstein. So why should I feel sorry if they just couldn't understand the idiomatic logic that went on in my head? I had a brain, it was insane, oh, they used to laugh at me when I refused to ride on all those double-decker buses, all because there was no driver on the top.
What, no driver on the top?
Man, the chick is twisted, crazy, oop-shooby, here flip city.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doctor, I think that it's you instead, because I have got a thing that's unique and new. To prove it, I'll have the last laugh on you, because instead of one head, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
Joni Mitchell singing of a double-decker buses. Next it'll be I Belong to Glasgow. I believe that's the first time Joni Mitchell, a hugely successful songwriter in her own right, ever recorded somebody else's song. And because all the hippie chicks and the rock chicks and the folk rock chicks dig Joni, they all know that Annie Ross song, and a lot of them do it in their Joni Mitchell tribute shows, thinking it's one of Joni's. Twisted is all very well, but it's not my favourite Annie Ross song. This is from a decade before Twisted, and it's just completely untwisted and very charming. Annie Ross was 14 years old and she entered a songwriting competition, and Johnny Mercer liked her entry enough to make a record of it with the Pied Pipers.
Let's fly, baby, let's fly away to land strange and unknown, where love's free and there's no such thing as a mailman, doorbell, telephone. Let's fly, baby, let's fly away across tropical seas. We'll have fun underneath the sun, so come on, baby, please.
Now you will find peace of mind. You can go.
Let's fly, baby, let's fly away. Take off, head for the sky. We'll leave all of our blues behind. So come on, baby, let's fly.
And you'll know just how far we two can go. That's a very worldly lyric for a 14-year-old. Like Come Fly With Me, which Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn wrote for Frank Sinatra. But Annie Ross got there a decade earlier, and she was about a sixth or seventh of their combined ages. Lovely, blithe lyric by Annie. Lovely tune by Dave Ball. Lovely record by Johnny Mercer, the Pied Pipers, and Paul Weston. The Royal Bobsters, who are in part an Annie Ross tribute group, sort of tied it all together. Let's fly, come fly with me, and even a quotation from Twisted.
Let's fly, let's baby, let's fly away, take off, head for the sky. We're gonna leave all of our blues behind, so come on, baby, let's fly.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly away.
We'll take a lunar honeymoon where we can spoon in the merry month of June. Won't you listen while I croon this tune? It's never too soon. Now they say all us children are supposed to sleep tight, but I'd rather sail upon the sultry seas with you tonight.
Let's take off on a fabulous flight.
We might just find our delight.
It's clever, and I get what they're trying to do, but I prefer the straightforwardness of the Johnny Mercer treatment. I saw Annie Ross on stage many times over the years on both sides of the Atlantic. As singers get older, you'll hear longtime fans say, oh, her voice is shot, by which they mean the range has narrowed a little, or they can't sustain long notes quite as long as they used to. So they got to prowl around the number a little more cunningly. But the last couple of times I saw Annie Ross, I have never heard a voice more comprehensively shot. I mean, there was nothing there. No tone, no range, no breath, all completely drained by a lifetime of booze and cigarettes, not to mention those years on the harder stuff. But nobody cared because she had a point of view on the material and she could convince you she'd lived those songs. Jazz likes survivors to the point where surviving becomes the only point. But I love the thought of a 14-year-old girl living with a showbiz aunt she didn't get on with, writing a breezy airborne love song for a competition and getting Johnny Mercer to record it. And I wish he'd talked her into writing a few more like this one.
Let's fly, baby, let's fly away to land strange and unknown, where love's free and
And there's no such thing as a mailman, doorbell, telephone. Let's fly, baby, let's fly away. Cross tropical seas, we'll have fun underneath the sun. So come on, baby, please.
You will find peace of mind, and you know just how far we two can go.
Let's fly,
baby, let's fly away.
Get lost,
never return. Let's fly, baby, let's fly away.
Come on and pack and not come back. Goodbye. Baby, let's fly.
Annie Ross has flown, a great character. I'll miss her. If you listen to country music radio in America, you will surely know Bill Mack. He was on the airwaves for decades.
The Satellite Cowboy, Bill Mack.
Hey, my boy, thank you very much, Larry. Larry Shutton. And hello, everybody. Yes, here's I, the Satellite Cowboy, who rides again on a
off the air. He was a very fitfully successful songwriter. Year-old Leanne Rimes with a multi-platinum bestseller of Bill Mack's song Blue, a top 10 country hit in America, top 10 in Australia, number one in Canada. And after Leanne Rimes, Bill Mack was a whole lot less blue. It won him the 1996 Grammy Award for Best Country Song, a 1996 Academy of Country Music Award for Song of the Year, plus a 1997 Country Music Association Awards nomination for Song of the Year, and a 1997 Country Radio Music Awards nomination for Song of the Year. But the 1996 Best Country Song and 1997 Song of the Year was, in fact, four decades old, written a quarter century before Leanne Rimes was even born.
1958. I was sitting in my home in Wichita Falls, Texas. Now, I'm not a great guitar man at all, but I had the guitar and I was in the key of C, which was about the only key I could pick in. So I'm just singing. Because it goes from C to E. Well, I liked it. And Blue came to me just like that. No studying at all. The Blue came to me. And that night I went to the Nesman Recording Studios and recorded it.
3 o'clock in the morning, and here am I, sitting here among so lonesome I could die, 'cause I'm blue. Oh, so lonesome for you, why can't you be blue over me?
Snuff Garrett, who was a disc jockey in Wichita Falls, he was playing it, and it became a, I wish I could say a regional hit. It became a local hit, thanks to Snuff Garrett. 4 or 5 years after my recording of Blue came out, I went to San Antonio. Patsy was playing a show there. When I saw Patsy, I said, I've got this song I want you to hear. And I sang it to her back in the dressing room.
3 o'clock in the morning, and here am I, sitting here.
Patsy Cline liked the song, and then she died. And so Bill Mack had to wait till 1996 to get as close to a Patsy Cline take on Blue as he ever would in that Leanne Rimes arrangement.
I don't remember writing the words down for Blue. I know I did when I went into Nesman's to record. But when I wrote it, I had no idea. Of course, I had no idea what would happen 40 years later. It came easier than, well, it and drinking champagne both just came to me almost immediately.
I'm drinking champagne and feeling no pain till early morning. Dining and dancing with every pretty girl I can find. I'm having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning. Knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind.
Dean Martin's version of Bill Mack's Drinking Champagne. I saw Dean sing that on stage in London in the 80s. I'm having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning, knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. Ah, we've all been there. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 91, disc jockey and songwriter Bill Mack. Al Kasher was one half of a songwriting team with Joel Hirshhorn. And when the songwriting wasn't going so well, they turned to writing books about writing songs. If they ask you, you can write a song. And Notes on Broadway, in which they talked to a lot more famous songwriters, the Leonard Bernsteins and Burt Bacharachs, about writing for the theatre. They're pretty good books if you're interested in solid writing advice. It was in connection with one of them that I had my first and only encounter with Mr. Kasher. As songwriters, he and Joel Hirshhorn peaked in the early 70s with two Oscar winners from disaster movies that did pretty well on the pop charts. From the Poseidon Adventure, this was a number one record.
There's got to be a morning after. If we can hold on through the night.
And from the Towering Inferno, this Oscar winner, well, not a number one record, but number five in Australia.
We may never love like this again. Don't stop the flow. We can't let go.
That's Maureen McGovern singing both those big movie themes. Now, I can take or leave those songs. They're just soft rock schlock. I can't recall the last time I heard them on the radio. And indeed, I've seen Maureen McGovern in concert a handful of times over the years, and she doesn't even sing her own hits. She's become a rather serious singer, Sondheim and the like, somewhat solemn art song renditions of The Heavier Side of Jimmy Webb, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress and whatnot. But there is one Kasher and Hirshhorn song from that period that I'm fond of. They wrote just the lyrics, the English lyrics. The tune and the original French words are by Charles Aznavour. And I'll get to it a bit circuitously, as is increasingly my wont. Herbert Kretzmer is the lyricist of Les Miserables, and millions and millions round the world know the songs he wrote for that show. Can you hear the people sing? I dreamed a dream on my own, on and on. And Herbie got that gig because one day he went to see the great West End producer Cameron McIntosh about reviving an old, forgotten, not terribly successful show of his from the 60s, a musical version of The Admirable Crichton. And Cameron wasn't in the least bit interested in reviving The Admirable Crichton, but he's very sweet and polite and always tries to be positive when he's giving the thumbs down to your stinkeroo of an idea. And so in the course of the chit-chat, Cameron remembered that Herbie had written the English lyrics to a couple of Charles Aznavour hits, and figured that if you can anglicise Charles Aznavour, you can anglicise Victor Hugo. One Frenchman's much like any other, right? So he offered him Les Miserables. And as a result, Herbie isn't in the least bit miserable. In fact, he's one of the least miserable people in show business today. One day, not long after Les Mis opened, I chanced to be in Herbert Kretzmer's flat in Basil Street in Knightsbridge, just behind Harrods, more or less, and I was with a young lady with whom I was hoping one thing might lead to another. So I was seeking to impress, and so surveying a photo of Messrs. Kretzmer and Aznavour and a framed bit of sheet music, I said to the young lady, "Did you know Herbie wrote the lyrics to She and Yesterday When I Was Young?" And then I named a third song. "No," said Mr. Kretzmer firmly. "That wasn't me, that was the other fellows." By which he meant Al Kasher and Joel Hirshhorn. This was that song and my favourite song of theirs.
Dance in the old-fashioned way. Won't you stay in my arms? Just melt against my skin and let me feel your heart. Don't let the music win by dancing far apart. Come close where you belong. Let's hear our secret song. Old-fashioned way. Won't you stay in my arms? And we'll discover highs we never knew before if we just close our eyes and dance along the floor. That gay old-fashioned way that makes me love you more.
Dance in the old-fashioned way. Music by Charles Aznavour. English lyrics by Al Kasher and Joel Hirshhorn. And of course, that day in Basil Street, as soon as I'd misattributed it to Herbert Kretzmer, I could have kicked myself, because it's not in the least bit like a Herbie Kretzmer song. She and Yesterday When I Was Young are literate and profound lyrics. And so I felt Herbie had been kind of insulted by my attributing to him Dance in the Old-Fashioned Way, which is just a breezy, blithe pop song. And as you can sort of tell from that arrangement, Aznavour had in mind one of those smooth Burt Kampfert charts, like Spanish Eyes or Strangers in the Night, that gives you a big, international, easy-listening smash, which I also don't think would have been quite Herbie's bag. So I started brooding on my faux pas, and as a result, as far as that young lady was concerned, the evening didn't quite go the way I'd wanted. Herbie wouldn't have written this song anything like the way Kasher and Hirshhorn wrote it, and the way they wrote it, everybody, for a while, wanted to sing it. Helen Reddy did, and Fred Astaire, and the Carpenters, and Ken Dodd, and Liberace. Here's Monsieur Aznavour in the mid-70s introducing another version of the song. Because he's on telly, and this is the way telly producers think, he's introducing the number while standing on the rear platform of a London double-decker bus to the bemusement of the other passengers. It must have been considered a genius concept by whoever came up with it at the BBC. From a 1976 edition of The Shirley Bassey Show.
Oh, hey! I have to tell you how much I love your interpretation of my song. Please, sing it once more for me. Just for me. Thank you.
This is just for you, Charles. Yeah, in the old-fashioned way. Won't you stay in my arms? Just melt against my skin. And let me feel your heart. Don't let the music win by dancing far apart. Come close where you belong. Let's hear won't you stay in my arms? And we'll discover heights we never knew before. If we just close our eyes and dance around the floor. That gay, old-fashioned way that makes me love you more.
And at that point, his bus evidently having arrived at Television Centre, on comes Charles Aznavour, hurrying on to join Shirley Bassey. If you ever saw him do the song on stage, you'd know he liked to turn his back to the audience and then put his arms around himself so that it looked as if he were dancing with someone. I always thought it was a bit creepy, like a guy making out with himself. But he's a fairly diminutive chap, so if you give him a real partner to dance with, you wind up with what happened on Shirley's show. He came out, sang a few words in response to Labassie's effusions, and you never heard a word he said because his nose was parked in her cleavage. There are worse places to be.
Won't you stay in my arms?
I will for a long time. I won't go away.
And we'll discover
heights
we never knew before. We just close our eyes and dance around the.
Don't let the music win by dancing far apart. When you've got your noggin crushed in Shirley Bassey's embonpoint, you're certainly winning. But the lyric, alas, is having a tougher time. When you got his head out from Shirley's cleavage, Charles Aznavour had a little patter he liked to do between choruses, which Al Kasher and Joel Hirshhorn also wrote. It didn't mean much to me as a young un, but it touches me more as the years go by.
Come closer. Forget all the others. It's nice to be like this, cheek to cheek, in the old-fashioned way. It's funny, but I have the feeling that we're dancing as our parents used to do. Well, maybe they weren't wrong. The world changes. Love stays. In the old-fashioned way. Won't you stay in my arms? And we'll discover ours we never knew before. If we just close our eyes and dance around the floor. That gay, oh, fashioned way that makes me love you more.
The world changes, love stays. Amen. Charles Aznavour singing Charles Aznavour with a fine English lyric by Joel Hirshhorn and the late Al Kasher. Nothing flashy, just the right words that sit on those notes and glide across the floor. I thank Mr. Kasher for that song. The conclusion, that gay old-fashioned way that makes me love you more, may well be the last lyrical deployment of the word gay in the non-sexual orientation sense. I mentioned there my terrible faux pas in Herbie Kretzmer's flat. The great West End producer Cameron McIntosh wound up offering Herbie the gig for Les Miserables because Herbie had written English lyrics for Charles Aznavour. There's no reason why a fellow who can adapt Charles Aznavour should be any good with Victor Hugo, any more than a Frenchman who's worked with Ginger Spice would be your go-to guy for Jane Austen. But Cameron chose to take a wild flyer, and this one paid off spectacularly, and he was quite right to do so, because some of Herbie's songs with Aznavour are wonderful. This one was the final track on the final album of Bing Crosby's 50-year career.
Yesterday, when I was young,
The taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue. I teased at life as if it were some foolish game, the way the evening breeze may tease a candle flame. The thousand dreams I dream, the splendid things I plan, I always built to last on weak and shifting sand. I lived my life and never asked the time of day, and only now I see how the years ran away. Yesterday, when I was young, so many happy songs were waiting to be sung. So many wayward pleasures lay in store for me, and so much pain my dazzled eyes refused to see. I ran so fast that time and youth at last ran out. I never stopped to think what life is all about, and every conversation I can now recall concerned itself with me and nothing else at all. Game of love I play with arrogance and pride, and every flame I lit too quickly, quickly died. The friends I made all seem somehow to drift away, and only I am left on stage to end the play. There are so many songs in me that won't be sung. I feel the bitter taste of tears upon my tongue. The time has come for me to pay for yesterday, when I was young.
Herbie and Monsieur Aznavour offered that song to Johnny Mathis, Tony Bennett, every other male singer. And their New York publisher told them Yesterday When I Was Young was a lousy title because the music business was all about the youth market and even the old guys went around pretending to be young. So it took a while, but it's out there and it's a bona fide late 20th century standard. One day in 1974, Herbie was asked to do a theme song for a short-run series of TV plays grouped together under the title The Seven Faces of Woman. The number was supposed to tie it all together, and the producer wanted it sung by Marlene Dietrich, as she supposedly represented the ageless woman. I didn't like that idea much, said Herbie. If you're going to write about a woman's mystique, it would be better if it were not sung by a woman. If she sang about her own mystery, the song would be too calculated and knowing. So he suggested Charles Aznavour. It took a while to crowbar the tune out of the Frenchman, who was off touring halfway across the continent. But the minute Herbie heard that long opening note, a word leapt into his head.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song that summer sings, maybe the chill that autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast,
Maybe the famine or the feast may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dream, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell. She always seems so happy in a crowd, whose eyes can be so private and so proud. No one's allowed to see them when they cry. She may be the love that cannot hope to last, may come to me from shadows of the past that I remember till the day I die. She may be the reason I survive, the why and wherefore I'm alive, the one I'll care for through the rough and ready years. Me, I'll take her laughter and her tears and make them all my souvenirs. For where she goes, I've got to be. The meaning of my life is she. She.
Such a well-written song, Charles Aznavour singing the words of his co-writer Herbert Kretzmer. I have loved such well-written songs ever since I noticed all those years ago that Herbie had rhymed one jab of my needle in the Punjab, and I thank him for that and for so many other pleasures over the years. John Prine fell victim to the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 73. He is one of the few songwriters to have written about his own death, and one of even fewer to make musical provision for the disposal of his remains.
There's an old song that your grandpa might have taught you. It's a suggestion of what to do with your body parts after you leave here. Just a suggestion. My doctor told me, don't you go leaving any of your parts to anybody, so you're not doing anybody any good.
Woke up this morning, put on my slippers. I walked in the kitchen and died. And oh, what a feeling when my soul went through the ceiling and on up into heaven I did ride. When I got there, they did say, John, it happened this way. You slipped upon the floor and hit your head. And all the angels say, just before you passed away, but these were the very last words that you said. Please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. No, I'd rather have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane, the blind could have my eyes, and the deaf could take, oh, the my ears if they don't mind the size. Get my stomach to Milwaukee if they run out of beer. Put my socks in a cedar box just to get them out of here. A Venus de Milo can have my arms. Look out, I got your nose. Sell my heart to the junk man and give my love to Rose. But please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. I'd rather have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane, the blind could have my eyes, and the deaf could take both of my ears if they don't mind the size. Oh, man. Give my feet to the footloose, careless, fancy free. And give my knees to the needy, don't pull that stuff on me. Hand me down my walking cane, it's a sin to tell a lie. Send my mouth way down south and kiss my ass goodbye. But please don't bury me down in the cocoa ground. I'd rather have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane, a blanket have my eyes, and the deaf to take both of my ears if they don't mind the size. That's right.
John Prine, please don't bury me down in that cold, cold ground. No, I'd rather have them cut me up and pass me all around. But they cannot give your eyes to the blind and your arms to the Venus de Milo, not when you die of COVID-19. Oh, we can't leave on that note, so one more. Our friend Tal Bachman bade a very touching farewell to Peter Green of Fleetwood Mac, the composer of Albatross at Stein Online a few months back, but one great 1960s instrumental deserves another. So how about Bent Fabric? What sort of a name is Bent Fabric? Well, it's Danish. Mr. Fabric died this year at the age of 95. He was a Danish jazz pianist, and in 1961 he wrote an instrumental called Omkring et Flygel, which means something rather boring, like round the piano. But the music wasn't boring at all. And under a much improved title, Bent Fabric's recording became a global phenomenon. Number 7 in America, number 4 in Canada, number 1 in Australia. And beyond the hit parade, it was just one of those tunes that was everywhere in the 60s. From ice cream vans to the accompaniment for a wonderful silent comedy TV sketch with Judy Garland and Andy Williams. Bent Fabric's Alley Cat. When you have an instrumental this big, somebody always figures, hey, let's put a lyric to it. So he goes on the prowl each night like an alley cat, looking for some new delight like an alley. If you want to know where it goes from there, buy my cat album, Feline Groovy, with Jeff Eales from our Christmas show doing his best Bent Fabric bent over the piano. I was honored to have put a few last royalty checks in Mr. Fabric's bank account. It's a great work. That's a great piece. Have a groovy new year, and we will see you for more songs in 2021.
Mark Stein's Song of the Week is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises. All rights reserved.